The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday on Friday. Again. And again, in Ephesians, Dave talks about being real or being dead. And plus, how long can you hold anger?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. By the way, that was Johnny Hill doing our introduction. That was kind of fun. He's never done that before, right? Listen, it's a little bit challenging when you've never done it before. We're trying to walk them through it just so you can learn how to do the process. Very good job. Good job, Johnny. Very good
job. Amen, brother.
All right, let's talk about what we're doing today. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. I just had a hankering for apple pie. Spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you. We're just asking you. It's a simple question, and we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation, because it's not professional radio. Ask anybody that's ever talked to me, ever. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, couple things to start off with. We are actually doing Expository Thursday on Friday, as Johnny said, and we are going to get into it, and there's some really intense material in Ephesians 4, 25 through 27. Before we get there, a couple things that I do want to bring up. Make sure that everybody's just taking a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Do not freak out about what's going on in the world, in the universe that you live in your little planet, in your little sphere, in your little whatever. God is not up in heaven going, oh no, where is the file? I cannot find the file. It is not what's going on. Okay? Nothing is catching God by surprise. Yes, the world seems to be I can't remember when it's not been on edge, but everybody take a deep, deep breath in God and relax. He sits on the throne in the center of the universe. So everything else is under his domain. Wow. Okay? All right. So chilling it out right there. Okay, let's give a quick shout out to our good friend Clint and Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, smoke, wind, and flood cleanup, sewage removal, all of it. If you've got something going on at your domicile, that's a house, or where you live, or the domain of your existence, or in your place where you work, or in your apartment complex, or whatever, get in touch with Mr. Restore, get in touch with Clint, and they will help you bring it back. Listen, this is why their name is Mr. Restore, so that it can be restored. That'd be the whole thing. MrRestore.com. You can always go to HeMustIncrease.org, have a direct link there. You can call them at 877-631-7576. It's 877-631-7576. Don't forget about the Adaptive Training Foundation, something that my wife and I also support, but that Clint is a big part of, and that is the group that helps people with 1, 2, 3, or 4 severed limbs find hope, find redemption, find strength, find vision. And boy, if you think you have troubles, imagine having 4 limbs that have been severed and having to go through each day like that. Guess what? There is a not just an answer. There is not just a hope. There is a progressive mountain to reach through the Adaptive Training Foundation. Love that. If you got anything going on at your house, you need cleanup service, any kind of cleanup service, any kind of water damage, get in touch with Clint at Mr. Restore. Okay, we've got so much to do and so little time to do it. So Johnny's going to listen to me teach expository because he hasn't done expository yet, and he's listening and learning. It's not that he can't do it. He just needs to see how we're doing it. And today we're going to do a light expository, so he'll help me read the scriptures. But we're also going to make sure that you can smile a little bit. And so I thought I'd just ask Wonder Julie real fast. Actually, we changed that, remember?
Wow!
That's it!
Wow! All I can say is wow! Wow!
That's right.
Wow! Wow! All I can say is wow!
She's taking over the show, folks. It's over. And I will tell you right now that she is actually in control of the board. Let her know. She'll be really happy to hear this. Unfortunately for me, my wife told me yesterday, no more Professor Spoonie. I have been 86th for being, you know how I was doing Professor Spoonie and just starting to get that going? My wife has 86th that.
Can you still be the Bible police?
Yes. I thought that would be good for you. And then every once in a while when I'm getting really irritable, that's it. Exactly. It's why I love you. So this is exactly right there. Let's get into it. There you go.
Stop it.
All right. Ephesians chapter 4, 25, 26, and 27 is what I'm going to be focusing on. Here is what is spoken. We'll cover some of the history and stuff in the next segment and all the other stuff. This is what it says, though, in verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. That's verse 25. Verse 26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Did you get that? Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. And then verse 27, and do not give the devil a foothold. So this is our text that we're operating from today, not really getting into the Greek, but let's just look at that very first thing because, oh my, what a challenge for so many of us in Christianity to just take heed to what the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood. Stop right there. So you go to church. Now, just listen. You go to church. It's Sunday morning, and somebody comes up to you and says, how you doing? And what is the standard Christian answer? The SCA, standard Christian answer, at all times on Sunday mornings when how you doing? Fine. How you doing? Fine. How you doing? Fine. Let's see. My dog got run over. I lost my truck. My wife went to Bermuda. My job is suing me instead of paying me. And my house is in a gravel pit right now, but I'm fine. If you said that statement in faith, I would bless you. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what we put on, the face that we put on in church on Sunday to make ourselves seem like everything's just dandy. Here's the truth. If you don't want to know how a person is doing, don't ask them. And if somebody is asking you how you're doing and you're going to answer, tell the truth. Because the example we have in church is Ananias and Sapphira. This is the example that we have. And the example is this. When it says you must put off falsehood, it doesn't say you should think about putting off falsehood. It says you must put off falsehood because falsehood, kind of the whole framework of Ananias and Sapphira, that ended up just creating death. And you're thinking, well, you know, that was Peter. Okay, can we at least go to the bank, take out a loan, and buy a clue? Peter did not touch Ananias and Sapphira. God touched Ananias and Sapphira. And what was their sin? Trying to come off better than they were, huh? Maybe that's a real big hint for the church. Ed, don't do that. You know, God is in your life, and he's working in my life, and he's constructing. And he's working things in our lives that have reflection to his glory, and he has purpose, and he has plans, and he's doing that. And for you and I to try and promote it as something different than what God is actually doing seems like a dumb idea, because God is trying to work something in our lives, and the idea is not to project something different. In fact, that projection, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13, 14, 15, and 16, Paul talks about the fact that he does not even consider people according to the flesh. He doesn't even think about people from the worldly status and the worldly point of view and the worldly expectations and the worldly visions and the worldly camera. Because it's a lie. And guess who the father of lies is? Well, it's Satan. So you just want to stay all the way. Just look. Look, if you're having a hard time, there's nothing wrong with saying, I'm having a hard time. Could you pray for me? Or I'm doing really well because I've just come over this trial. Can you help me? Keep praying for me to prevail. Or the Lord's really got me in this place and it's great and I need to know how to share that. Can you pray for me in that? How you doing? I'm doing well in the Lord, but my job is really difficult right now. Could you spend a minute with me and talk to me? This is called Christian love. This is called being honest and earnest with your neighbor and exhibiting the things that God calls us to. Think about the command of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we can spend an hour talking about this, but we're not going to. Just think about Jesus Christ and the truthfulness that he brought in and how he came into your life and did so many wonderful things. And then think about how he did that same thing with the person right next to you. And his desire, listen to this, his desire is that through that mutual love, there would be a witness. John 13:35, by this shall all men know you are my disciples, by your love one for another. Want to be a great witness? Do it. Be a person that loves another person. Be a person that – I've said this before. It's not my saying. I didn't originate it. Somebody else said it. But look, you want to be – you want to have a friend? Be a friend. Okay? Be that, and then you'll have that. And the reason this is important is Paul doesn't even get past it. You don't even get past the first half of the verse without recognizing this is serious. And he wants Christians and he doesn't even – he says it with the same – what's the word? Veracity that he says of putting off the old man. He's like, you put off falsehood. The same Greek word for put off is put off in the verses just before it, where it says put off the old man and put on the new man. Now he's going back and he says, put off falsehood. You're in the new man. Don't be phony. It's not – I don't care that the world thinks that you're phony. I say that in the nicest way. It's that God amongst believers, your brothers and sisters, knows when you're being phony. And it's like, wow, do you do that perfectly, Dave? Oh, sure I do. I'm dead. I mean, come on. No, of course not. I have to grow in the Lord and grow into it. Okay? All right. Take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment, because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table, and somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it, because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I want to let you know you can reach us. Reach out 972-445-0770. You're welcome to say howdy. Our website, hemustincrease.org. hemustincrease.org. In the middle of that website is an opportunity to give. And for our nonprofit, 100% tax-deductible ministry, which I think is awesome, and I think it's great. We had to get a little more banking stuff done today. I always like going to the bank. Okay, I'm lying. And then we got that rolling, and if you want to help us, you're welcome to give. There's opportunities to give on a regular reoccurring basis or just give a one-time gift, whatever you want. If you want to give $50 billion, just let me know. We're not going to say no, but the idea here really is to advance our time, advance our reach, and advance the kingdom. So that's what we want to do. That's a part of what we're connected to. Let me give a quick shout out to Michael at First Appraisal Choice. He is kind of kicking around becoming a ministry partner. We just want people to know that that opportunity is available. He had asked me, you know, how much is it? And it's like, it's pretty much what you determine it is. That's my answer, because it's donation based and we'll do whatever we can to help you. And that's part of it. Some people will give because they want to try and help their business. Some people will give because they just want to help the ministry. We say amen. Both of those. Let's do it. We're with it. All right. Trivia question. And then we'll get back into Ephesians. Our trivia question is simple. It's a very easy one, but it is important. And I'll tell you why after you answer it. It's which disciple found a coin in the mouth of a fish? Which disciple found a coin in the mouth of a fish? 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. You're welcome to call. There's no big, huge prize coming with it. We're just asking the question. I will tell you, for those that do not know, do you have any idea what holidays it is today? Any chance at all?
I do not.
Okay, cool. That's not that. And I don't blame you, because the only way I would know is by looking these things up. I would never know otherwise.
Is it Apple Pie Day?
It is.
Because you mentioned that earlier.
No. Now I wish it was apple pie day. So I thank you for doing that.
Apple pie with cinnamon ice cream.
Yeah. Ooh, man.
Note to self.
Okay. See, now I know I'm making a stop on the way home. That's okay. Just a small detour. It is floral design day, so I mentioned that because my wife. Yeah, she's a floral manager at Tom Thumb. So I would say happy day for her, but it's her day off, so I will say she's not even listening. If you are listening, honey, I love you, and you are the greatest human being that I've ever met in this lifetime on this planet at this time.
Wow.
And he was not rolling his eyes when he said that.
I was not rolling my eyes when I said that.
I promise.
I got nothing there. And then she's not listening, so it doesn't matter. I should tell her where I hid the brownie, but I'm not going to. All right. So the other thing, it's National Science Day. We're not, people are thinking, well, science is bad. Science isn't bad. We got somebody, I guess they're calling in on the trivia question. Wonder Julie's so into it. She's like, there? Okay. Okay. So National Science Day, science is not a bad thing. It's a great thing. And the bottom line is we want that. And you'll find as you grow in the Lord that the Lord confirms what man learns much slower. Just to say it that way. All right. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, this is Bobby.
Hey, Bobby. What's going on, brother?
I don't know but the word of God.
That's what we're about, brother.
God bless you, Bobby.
All right. Talk to
likewise.
Me. Talk
that's
to me.
Peter.
What's
Peter,
that?
Texas.
Say that again?
It was Peter to pay the taxes.
That's right. So here's the story, and you can't get away from this. And the reason I asked it, I knew this was easy, and I knew people were going to ask it, but here's why I brought it up. I always find it fascinating. I just can't get away from this for some reason, that Jesus told Peter to go out, get the fish, and then get the coin out of the fish's mouth and then pay the taxes. I just find it amazing that along the way, over the course of whatever amount of time, that the fish had swallowed the coins and then went over to where Peter was going to be fishing. I find that to be so amazing. And then Peter throws out the line, catches the first fish. Remember, Jesus, the first fish you catch, opens his mouth, and there it is in the coin, the coins in the mouth. I mean, it's so set up, but it's amazing to think that the Lord coordinated the fish just to get that done.
Oh, yeah, the Lord coordinated all. He is the creator. He knows the whole thing.
He knows
so he
the
knows
whole
everything
thing.
Is. So all we had to do is just obey him and follow the spirit as he leads us.
That's good Amen, job, Bobby. Brother. Thank you for calling in, brother. That's it. And I knew Bobby was going to get that right away, and I have confidence like to people that know the scriptures and know what's going on. And I just think it's amazing that God coordinated the fish.
And how did your grandson, Nathan, know? How did he doing? He doing
it's
okay?
His name is Easton Scott.
Easton Scott. I wrote it down in the Bible somewhere, but yeah. Ethan.
And so we're praying. We're expecting some new test results coming out early next week, and they're talking about doing a few things that will speed up the process. It's been a long trial, my friend. It's been long. Talked to my daughter today. And, you know, she has ups and downs, but today she's probably in the medium spot. And so I just want prayer for my kids and for my grandchild. The grandchild is in the hand of God, and I feel confident that. But the pain and the pressure for parents, oh, that's pretty intense, isn't it? That's intense.
But we just have to trust the Lord. You
exactly.
Know?
You got to trust him with all your heart.
We know the enemy. We know how he works. You know, he comes against us all, you know.
That's right. Exactly right. In fact, in the last segment, I'm going to be talking about the enemy. So that's a good point. Great. And I appreciate that you brought that up.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, brother.
All right, and y'all take care.
All right, God bless
you. Thank you, Bobby. God bless you, brother.
All right, folks, let's get into this next phase in regards to Ephesians, because, you know, I did get through four words. What's it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 8 words I got through the last time. So I think I can probably do a little better than that. It says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully with his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. All right? So when he's saying speak truthfully with your neighbor, this is a really important part. In fact, I'm going to have Johnny read this text in James that is important for us to connect it to. Go ahead.
James 2:21 through 22, and it says, don't you remember that your ancestor, Abraham, was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete.
Therein lies the big key. And there's, for whatever reason, there's always a controversy in the church on theology. And it does, I just don't think that there needs to be. It's simple. It's that if you, first of all, you are saved by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Your heart was made right with God through that redemptive act.
Amen.
If that happened in your life will have reflection of that. That's it. There's nothing – if it didn't happen, you'll have no reflection. If it did happen, you will have reflection. So when you're talking about James and it talks about works and people are like, well, you're saved by your works. It's like – it's the whole concept is verse 22. His faith and his actions work together. The actions made the faith complete. You have faith in Jesus Christ, and as you do stuff, in God and in the kingdom and in your functionality, that faith is manifest. Mm. And it's not just manifest for others, my friends. It's manifest for you so that you can be active in faith, so that your faith can grow. It's a witness to others. It's a witness to you. And it's a testimony for the glory of God. So when it says stuff like speak truthfully to his neighbor, that means you don't lie. You speak the truth. You have the character of Jesus Christ in you, because Jesus Christ lives in you through faith. He's in your heart through the Holy Spirit having residence in you and being chosen by God, and you are reflecting the nature of Christ as a born again person. So speak the truth. I mean, that's what it says. Speak the truth. And but the thing that's more, even most amazing, is when he says speak the truth. This is, speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we're all members of one body. One of those weird things in Scripture where it says, speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we're all members of one body. God, through the Holy Spirit, in writing, using Paul, right? The Holy Spirit, in his divinity, has Paul connect the phrase neighbor and members of one body. And you think, well, what does that mean? That means that instead of you knowing your Christian brother or sister once a week on Sunday between 9:30 and 10:55, that they're supposed to be more like a neighbor in your life than a weekly visit. You know where your neighbor lives? Next to you, or one house away from you. You see them all the time. You'll see their kids. You see their cars. You see their lawn. You see their house. You see them all the time. The way that God communicates our connection to one another is so much more intense than the way that we try to make it fit into our idealistic life. How God communicates it is, look, make sure that you're being forward with one another. Make sure you're not being like Ananias and Sapphira. Make sure you're speaking the truth. Make sure your actions are filtered with the grace of Jesus Christ that's in your life. And be this with one another, not just once a week, but so much with your brother and sister as though they're your neighbor and you're just connected. You're always connected. Do you know when we go out of town, do you know what I don't do? I don't call my relatives in California and say, watch my house in Texas. Mm. You know who I ask to watch my house?
Your neighbor.
My neighbor. Just think about that. Just think about that simplistic. Wow. Even from an apartment point of view, my wife and I live in an apartment. We love apartments, by the way. I'm not completely in disagreement with you. I enjoy apartments. Okay, I love houses. I love apartments. I think it's great. I think it's the Lord works on both. Guess what we would do if we had packages coming? We'd go knock on our neighbor's door and say, hey, could you get this package for us? There's engagement there. One neighbor, we got a chance to witness. Guess what? Their family, all Jewish. Guess what? By the time they were done meeting with us, they had heard the gospel from the bottom to the top and the top to the bottom.
They'll never be able to say we had no witness.
And they were great neighbors. And we took care of them. When they had a problem, we took them somewhere. And they took – guess what? That's how we're supposed to be with one another. Don't just know Christian brothers and sisters once a week. Got to do a little better than that, okay? All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Can I blow your mind? You know, I did this with you before, but on a different text. I love this text. You will love this text because you and I are sci-fi people. You'll love this. I mean, this is one of those, oh, goodness gracious, that's so good. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. Okay? 1 Samuel 23:10 through 12 says this: Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men surrender me and my men to the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. I love this portion because people, we think in these boxes and we force God into our theology and say he must conform here, which is just insanity by itself. Here's a situation where David hears that Saul is coming down to try and get him. And he's asking, will the people of the city surrender me? I've helped them. I've defended them. I've given them some deliverance. Is Saul going to come in and change their mind and they're going to give me up? And the Lord says, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, if you read the rest of the passage in 1 Samuel 23, David leaves. So he is not surrendered to Saul by the men of the city. But what I want you to catch is this. God knew what the outcome was going to be if David stayed, and what the outcome was going to be if David left. In other words, God knew the alternate universe or the alternate pathway that was taking place. We've talked about this before. It's one of those cool thoughts where we don't think of it in these terms. But remember, David says to God, hey, are they going to give me up? And the Lord's like, yeah, they're going to give you up. That's what's going to happen. So you need to make a decision and go a different direction so we can have a different outcome. And it's like God knew what the outcome was if they gave him up, and God knew what the outcome was if he left. God knew what it would be if he went left or right, if we went west, east, north, or south. God knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what, because God is omniscient. He knows all things, which means he knows every alternate route. On Christ the
solid rock. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to get some of our intro and exit music for free, go to livinginhisgrip.com under the Hymn Project, H-Y-M-N, hymn. It's so close to hymn, hymn. Okay, under that project. Let's give a quick shout out to our very good friend, Kimberly McQuinn. Our house is a very, very, very fine house with two cats in the yard. Life used to be so hard. All right, now Kimberly is a real estate aficionado. What does the word aficionado mean? I have no idea. It's just a big fancy word with a lot of vowels. Here's the bottom line. She can help anybody who's a first-time buyer, experienced investor, works with foreclosures, short sales. It doesn't matter. She has a deep breadth of experience in the real estate industry. She's going to be coming in, I think, next week on Tuesday or Wednesday. I can't remember. One of the days, Kimberly's going to be coming in. We're going to have a fun time. And I really appreciate her and Tony. They've been going through a tough time. You ever go through a tough time? If you're listening to my voice and you're a Christian, just say yes. Okay? All right. But the Lord has been bringing them back. And she used to be deeply involved in real estate, had an enormous team, did a lot of stuff. Well, now she's coming back and bringing it all together. If you need to talk to somebody about real estate and you're looking to get some answers, and even if you just want to talk and you don't make any commitments, she would be the one to talk to. Kimberly McQuinn, 903-48-HOMES. 903-48-HOMES. That's 903-48-HOMES, H-O-M-E-S. Also, if you go to hemustincrease.org, she's connected to us that way as well. I did not finish this one thing, so I think we should finish it because we had Wonder Julie talking about it, and I did not finish it with Johnny either. And that was, there were a couple of other very important holidays on this day that I did miss, and I'm just going to bring that up real quickly for those that don't know. It is also, for those that don't know, National Chocolate Souffle Day. Mm. Okay, that's different. This one caught me by surprise. It's National Tartar Sauce Day.
Wow.
What do you use tartar sauce? Would you use it? Have you ever?
Not anymore. I don't eat a lot of fish.
You don't eat a lot of fish. But it was for fish sticks, wasn't it?
Right. Well, we're getting close to Lent, and they've got to get their tartar sauce out there.
Get your tartar sauce on.
All right. Get your tartar sauce.
Get your tartar sauce on.
That should be a t-shirt. Get your tartar sauce on. That's hilarious.
Only here in Texas.
Oh, my goodness. I think that broke the bank right there, folks. I'm sure we'll get a call from that. You guys have lost it.
We'll be selling those t-shirts next week.
Yes. The wheels are off the bus.
That was completely off the bus. In 1784, in this day, John Wesley chartered the Methodist Church, for those that wanted to know. Now, watch this. You know how I always have one, don't I, that's just like out of this world? I got this one. 1978, this is the Long Arms Save the Dolphin. You're sitting thinking, what? I looked at this. I had to read this multiple times. Basketball player Clifford Ray assisted in an operation at Marine World in California by using his long arms to retrieve a large screw that was swallowed by a dolphin.
That sounds
it's
disgusting.
So bizarre. And it's like he stuck his hand in the dolphin's throat and pulled out the screw so that the dolphin didn't die.
Wow.
Wow.
So I read that, I went,
that's a wow.
Really? It's like so weird. Okay. I don't know. I just felt like it was important to share that. Okay.
All right. I do feel complete.
I feel completely like we're all in trouble. Let's go to verse 26. Therefore, okay, we did verse 25. Each of you must put up falsehood and speak truthfully with his neighbor, for we're all members of one another. So the members of the body are like neighbors. If you get anything out of today, get that. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. All right. We know that sin is a problem for people, but anger in and of itself is not a sin. Do me a favor, Jan, read just verse 5, that underlined verse in Mark chapter 3 on this one. Just the verse 5. I think it's right in the middle. So go ahead and just read that real quickly.
And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched out his hand, and his hand was restored.
Okay, that was Jesus, okay? And he looked around at them with anger. So the people that think that, well, it's anger is a sin. No, it isn't. It's not a sin. It's not a sin to be angry. Righteous indignation has long been a theme in the framework of Scripture. It even says specifically, in your anger, do not sin. What that means is that within the framework of anger, there can be sin. So the Scripture goes on to tell you where that comes about. It explains it to you. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Why does it say that? Because sin festers or grows in a place where anger is unchecked.
Amen.
And if you have anger, and you just, you know, righteous indignation, that's super duper fantastic. But anger that you hang on to, just in case you want to know what happens, anger that you hold on to for not just a short time, but a long time, even over a lifetime, it becomes bitterness. And that's a big issue. Because now the anger has been in so long that it's morphed into something else, something worse. Now, if God wanted to be angry at any of us, it would be a perfect righteous indignation. But his anger only lasts a short time. And then what happens is his grace follows through. It's mercy that triumphs over judgment. And the kindness of God appears in challenges and defeats. But just for you and I and the practical application of this passage, there are many of you out there who have been hurt. And I know you're out there. You don't have to identify yourself. I know you're there. You know you're there. And you've held on to that hurt so long that it's an anger issue, and it's been so long an anger issue, you're bitter. And guess what that's going to do for you? Hurt you. And so you want to talk about self-fulfillment, self-fulfilling prophecy. Your anger that you hold on to against somebody else only after time bites you.
Amen.
That other person, other such, and you could be, and people get angry at God, but that if they stay in that anger, it's immaturity. But then they become bitter, and then how does that go? How does it go for you when you're bitter against God? How's that go? Not good. It's a bad idea. It's a bad plan. It's a bad idea. So the scripture tells you, you know, it's one thing to be angry, but don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Now, there's a lot of things that people say, well, never go to bed angry, and da da da. I know. I don't know. I don't know if that's accurate or not. My wife and I kind of work on that. I think we've succeeded maybe half the time that I can tell. But the bottom line is this. It's one thing to be angry. It's another thing to stay angry. And you know, in order not to be angry, you know what you have to do? You have to forgive. Don't you? So there's some of you out there who are listening to my voice right now. You know who you are, and you have just held on to the anger for so long, and you're bitter about it, and here's my answer. Be a forgiving Christian. Reflect Jesus Christ. Lift it unto the Lord. And if you're mad at God, and don't tell me people don't get mad at God, because that's ridiculous, even within the framework of Scripture, you apologize because you don't have a right to be angry with God, and ask him to soften your heart because of the hardness of your heart, and ask him just to show you and to teach you and to help you grow, to become that Christian that he has designed you and desires you to be. Don't try and be defiant. You'll never win the argument with God. I mean, you can argue with God. Don't misunderstand. I argue with God all the time. I just never win any of them. And at some point, you just got to stop and surrender and let it go. Okay, that's for those of you who are doing this between you and God. For those of you who are so angry at a person that you can't extend forgiveness, that's a callousness on your heart. You know what you can't do? You can't keep doing that. You got to cut that out. That's something that needs real spiritual surgery. Mm. You got to cut that bad boy out, okay? It's like a cancer. If you had the ability, as soon as cancer started in one spot, to immediately cut all of it out and remove it from your system, that'd be the best thing because it'd be out of your system. Guess what? That's what's happening when you're letting anger fester and stay inside and just be a party. Stop being mad. Okay, I know that it was wrong. I know you were wronged. I know it's not just. I know it's not fair. But after all, you were never really entitled to life in the first place. So maybe work it through that angle. But stop being so mad. Stop being so angry all the time, because it doesn't help. And it's not helping you. I pray. I got to tell you this. I guess I'm going to confess this. So I do my – I'm pretty devotional in my prayers, and I pray every day not to be angry, and to certainly – I do. I pray this certainly. Don't let that anger ever turn into bitterness, because that's when you're so mad that you're shutting everything else down, and the anger's just driving all of the things inside. It's like, oh, that's just a terrible place. And look, I'm not happy. I'm angry that my grandson's going through. I'm angry about it, but I'm also aware that I need to be submissive and surrendered and trusting. So I pray it fresh. I'm one of those people that think, you know, people know that the heart is desperately wicked and evil. Who can know it? So I just pray God gives me a fresh heart every day.
Amen.
Every day. Why? Because I need it. And all that stuff that's going on around us doesn't help. So let's do it right in the kingdom, okay? Take a short break, then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We've been hanging out. Johnny Hill's been hanging out with us. He doesn't normally do Expository Thursdays, which are on Fridays, with us. But I wanted him to get a little bit of a flavor on the difference of the show. And so the Lord's growing him in ministry, and he's learning different aspects, and we're talking about it. And we just feel like the Lord's trying to do something. We don't even fully even know what it is. But sometimes as a Christian, you just do the best you can to walk it one step at a time. I personally would rather get a Western Union from the Lord and have the picture or the map all laid out. I think that'd be more fun in the sense of I know where it's going. Doesn't take as much faith, but it is right in front. But that is not how God does it. And what the Lord does do is he walks with us as we walk along. And if you look at Hebrews 12:1, you'll find out that the Greek word talking about the trail that's mapped out for us, that it's actually that Greek word is mapped, is actually it's a map. It's like there's a map here. You just don't get to see it. And the Lord is with it, and he knows what to do. He's the author and finisher of your faith. He's not shy in communicating. He's not shy in disciplining. He's not shy in sanctification. I think most of you know that. But the point is to grow one step at a time as we grow closer, draw closer in. I don't know if the Lord will come back today. I don't know if the Lord will come back in 10 years or 20 years or 30 years, but I know it's a lot closer today than it was yesterday.
Amen.
Now, that's what I need to be aware of. It's kind of cliche-ish to say live for the Lord as though he's coming back tomorrow, live as he's not coming back for 100 years. But it's not a bad idea either. So keep that in mind. All right, so here's this last segment, and we're not going to get to the whole thing, but it's a super short verse, but it's really important. It's verse 27. So in verse 25 and 26, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully with his neighbor. We're all members of one body. Keep that in mind, that your brother and sister in the Lord is supposed to be so close to you like a neighbor. And in your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Don't let sin or anger last and fester into bitterness. And then verse 27 says, and do not give the devil a foothold. That's the one that nobody likes. Because nobody wants to admit, well, I give the devil a foothold. Do me a favor, Johnny, and just read the bottom scripture of John. Read that, John chapter
14:29.
Yeah. Yep, read that.
It says, now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me.
So what I think people might miss, and I'm trying to make this connection more specific and more plausible for people to grasp on a practical basis, is in Jesus' life, Satan had no entry point. He had nothing in him. There was nothing in Jesus' life that had sin attached to it. He was sinless. He was made to be sin for us, but he had no sin of his own. So 2 Corinthians 5, 18, 19, and 20, right in there, talks about Jesus being made sin on our behalf. But he didn't have sin, so there was no access point that Satan could use against him. I have found thus far, as I've journeyed as a Christian, that every single Christian I've ever met has sin somewhere. And that sin is, whether it's pride by saying I have no sin or something along those lines, I think that sin is quite simply an access point. And that access point makes that opportunity for Satan to have a foothold. He just wedges in there a little, not even a lot. I don't think every sin that we commit is drastic and dramatic. Any sin will send you to hell, so to make sure that nobody misunderstands that. But I would rather you commit a sin of, you know, throwing an ice cream cone at somebody versus you chopping somebody's head off. It's just so practical. Don't be bizarre. It's like, of course I'd rather you have one that – either one will send you to hell. That's not the point. The point is that foothold, that gives Satan an opportunity to – needle in, kind of, that might be a really good way to think of it. If you think of like a needle nose pliers, it's like he needles in there just a little. And then one of the things that needle nose pliers do besides a grip is you can also pull the handles apart so then it can expand. And so you got to think that he gets a little bit in there and then just expands a little, makes the hole a little bit bigger. Now, I don't know what it is that you're dealing with, but I know what the scripture says. And it says, don't give them a foothold. Don't give them a spot. Don't give them a space. Don't give them an in. You're not required to. You don't have to. I hope you're one of those people that gives very little room, but don't do it. In fact, I'm just going to quote this in James 4:7. It says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You have to resist. In order for you to resist, he has to be able to come at you. In other words, there's no resisting that takes place if he has no access to come at you. He can come at you. And most of those times that come at you has to do with access points of sin. Now, it's true that he can throw all kinds of temptation, but I'm more concerned about him having a step in our lives because we have unconfessed sin that we're not willing to call sin because we like it so much. Mm. And it's like, okay, I get it. But better you should come before the Lord and go, I'm a drastically flawed, full of sin person who needs your forgiveness and grace in every area. Please plug up the holes. Then go, I have no sin at all. I can do anything I want. Ha ha. It's like, I don't think that's so wise. I think true Christianity comes to the Lord and goes, yeah, I need help. And help is you don't want satanic influence in your life, which happens in the world, which happens I talked to Johnny about this the other day. People are like, well, Satan, he never influences me. If you have ever believed a lie since you've been a Christian, any single lie ever, at any point in all your existent Christianity, you've been influenced by Satan. He's the father of lies. So just when you in your process go, God really doesn't love me, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I can't get through this, all of those lies. God doesn't know about me. He's way far away from me. Anytime you buy that, anytime you buy a lie, you're being influenced by Satan. It's just like, One of the most common ones I come across is people tell it, I feel unworthy. I feel unworthy, and so therefore God doesn't like me. Well, he has to love me, but he doesn't like me. Well, make it real easy. You are unworthy, except for in Jesus Christ, you became worthy, and he doesn't hang out with people he doesn't like, and he's spending eternity with you, so he must like you. I mean, you think, well, that seems so silly. That seems so juvenile. No, what seems juvenile is for us to say God doesn't like us. That's juvenile. What's juvenile is to think God has abandoned you when he has never abandoned anyone ever. You would be the first person ever in all of human existence, and God has decided, well, now, finally, one time, I'm going to abandon this guy, Joe, because I've had enough. Really? You're that special? Wow! You see where I'm going with that?
Yes, I do, brother.
Okay. You see that sarcasm there on purpose? Don't tell me you can't use sarcasm to teach. So the bottom line is, anything like that, don't give the devil the space. Don't give the devil the room. Don't give the devil the time. Yes, he's active, but you don't let him have to set up a musical inside of your life. Okay? You can not give in. You can resist. You can just say no. How about that? You can just say no. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. To submit to God means to surrender, which means that you're full and engrossed and entrenched in the Lord. And then, after that, resist the devil. Because he doesn't have – he's only a trespasser. He doesn't own any space in you. Okay?
Amen.
All right. Here's what the passage says. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we're all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. And to that, we all say, amen. Right? Right. There you go. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 71-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Thank you, Johnny Hill, for joining us. God bless you all.
Thank you, brother. Feels like I've been
running. The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.